that's the sound of another sale on Shopify, in store. Shopify POS is everything you need to sell in person. From payments to inventory, Shopify unites your sales into one commerce platform. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/retail23. Shopify.com/retail23.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
This episode is made possible by the support we get from Fort Collins Kia. If you are in the market for any electric Kia, not only do they never add market adjustments, they will deliver your car to you anywhere in the 48 contiguous states for out-of-spec viewers. More information in the link in the show notes. Hello and welcome to the Out of Spec podcast, your go-to source for all things electric vehicles. I am Francie. Hope you all are doing great today. With more and more EV startups taking shape, we see a stark contrast between, of course, the vehicles now and the vehicles of the past, but also the different business practices, including the elimination of dealerships in some business models. Customers can just get their EVs online. But, of course, many automakers and brands maintain the dealership model, including that of GM and Chevrolet. Today, we have the pleasure of speaking with Alan Brown, the People First General Manager of Sampac Five-Star Chevrolet in Carrollton, Texas. The EV market is on the rise, and it's time to dive into the insights and experiences of someone who is getting a front row seat of EV dealership sales in their region. Thank you, Alan, for joining me today.
Yes, ma'am. Excited to be here, and we're pretty bullish on EV and excited to get into the questions.
Oh, that is great. Great to hear. I'm really curious about your perspective. So can you share, maybe start out by sharing a bit about your role at the dealership and then your journey into the automotive industry?
Yeah, you bet. So I'm the executive general manager over the Chevrolet store for Sampac and the Sampac Auto Group. I've been in the business since 1990, started washing cars, going to college. In the beginning, I was with my first family for 27 years, and I actually was partnered in three Volkswagen stores with them. I was also chairman of National Council for Volkswagen of America through the emissions scandal. So I got to see, you know, kind of front row what I didn't know then was the emission scandal and how it was going to really launch EV. And if you recall, reading back through that from, you know, 8-9 years ago, Electrify America was birthed out of the settlement to the U.S. Through Volkswagen AG and obviously Volkswagen of America. So, you know, little did I know what a front row seat I had at that moment in time with the EV space. And obviously, that space has changed so much. I remember VW executives at that moment in time, you know, 8-9 years ago, thinking that Tesla wouldn't make it another quarter, you know, from a financial standpoint. And you know, if you really read and look at Elon, he'll talk about he was very, very close to getting to a space and place where he was getting in the red ink financially. But when it turned big. And I think that's what we're starting to experience right now is we're just going to go through different phases of where it has tremendous growth, it has a little bit of pullback, and then tremendous growth again.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Okay. Yeah, you really did have a different front row seat and look at how things have changed very, very dramatically from then to now. And you said that you all are bullish over there about EVs. What do you mean by that exactly?
Well, our auto group, along with many other great auto groups in North America, you know, we're working on infrastructure of charging on the lot. You know, for some dealers, that was a lot more of an expense than people realize, because you're having to pull big power cable from the main road, retrenching concrete. We were very lucky because this facility was completed in 2017. So I had extra electrical and I had already capacity to bring in some big EV charging stations. But some of the other stores obviously had to spend really, really, really large dollars in just putting the infrastructure together before they even purchased the actual charging mechanism or machine.
Interesting. Yeah, I have a bit of a history. I worked at EVgo. So, of course, some dealerships we're looking at, including chargers. But it is a big expense. And, you know, also if you're hanging out at a charger, sometimes you're hanging out, right? So perhaps at a dealership, perhaps not. It's interesting to see where we'll see that model go, if it'll be more like the convenience store type. But it is interesting that y'all were able to do that. What kind of hardware do you have on site?
ABN set us up with our chargers. I'd have to look at the file to give you the exact model number and stuff. But we went through ABN, if I remember that correctly. And they did a really, really good job coming out and surveying the needs. And also, you know, General Motors, I believe, did a great job making sure that every store had the right blueprint. So that you could meet what they called compliance, so that you could be EV ready. And then the other piece of it was special tools and training. We actually had to get some additional special tools. We even had to get a higher capacity forklift, believe it or not. We had a pretty large warehouse forklift, but with the new truck coming, if there was a battery maintenance scenario with the new truck, the forklift that we had wouldn't have been compliant. So, those expenses add up pretty quickly. And then last but not least, but maybe even more importantly, you know, the mindset of training your people and getting your people ready for activation of the product, demoing the product, needs assessment, and making sure that we're speaking the correct language of that EV transaction, that EV buyer, versus ICE, because it is two different conversations.
They really are. And I have questions about that for sure that I'm going to bring up later, because it's like a totally different training, whether you're servicing or selling the cars. And it's a whole new, you know, wealth of knowledge to take up. But okay, so about EV sales trends in your region, right? You're in Texas. How have you seen sales for electric vehicles specifically to be performing in your region compared to the traditional internal combustion engines?
Well, you know, we all saw pre-owned EVs get really hot during COVID and the tail end of COVID, and really after COVID was starting to transition out and inventory levels were low because of production issues coming out of all the manufacturers from that standpoint. So I saw that as a real big opportunity. We obviously bought a lot of pre-owned in the group, and we did well with that from that regard. From a General Motors standpoint, we're going through a transition with Bolt. We will see Bolt again, but we're basically in sell down mode. And a lot of us are pretty much sold out, if not down to one or two left. Blazer is just now relaunching, it's getting relaunched vigorously by General Motors, and you're going to see that in advertisement. You're also going to see that in the deal that will be publicized. And then we've got Equinox coming, and we've got Silverado coming. They definitely took their time on Silverado. I think they're really going to be able to show just how, and I have to be careful of this because we own some of the biggest Ford stores in the country in Sampac Auto Group. But we believe that the Chevrolet EV Silverado is going to be head and shoulders above the current Ford Lightning platform that's on the ground. Even though we're coming late to the party, we're coming with real range, real towing capacity. I think Ford faced some headwinds when different editors hooked a trailer to that truck and ended up with a 60-mile range under towing conditions. And I believe that you're going to see our vehicle perform totally different as it gets on the ground and the editors get their hands on it.
Mm-hmm. Alan, you have to, I don't know if you've, you know, been up to date with Out of Spec Motoring or Out of Spec Reviews. So those are two of our different channels, but we have had our hands on the Rivian, the Lightning, the Silverado, and the Cybertruck all at once. And I've seen like what that Silverado is able to do. And of course, GM has the approach of like all the battery that you can fit in this vehicle. But it really is, in terms of a work truck, the people who have ridden in it and driven it really see not only the great aspects of the range and the value there, but that it is a pretty great work truck. So I think it is a really interesting time to be in the EV, to be alive, but with the EV trucks, because this is a totally different undertaking from the Bolt, one of the most affordable city commuters that are out there, to a truck that you can do truck stuff with. So that'll be really cool to see how this part of the industry evolves. And in terms of the trucks versus the Bolt, it seems like it's pretty a different market, right? Between people who want that commuter and the truck. Are you seeing more of a mix now of folks who are getting excited to get their hands on a Silverado, or is it still mostly the folks that are looking for the daily commuter type?
Yeah, I would say it's daily commuter. I'm not really seeing hand raisers yet on the Silverado. Once again, that, you know, COVID and some different things slowed that down, delayed that from that regard. So, you know, right now you're really seeing people that can focus in on what you do have on your lot, which for us is the sell down and sell out of the Bolt platform and obviously Blazer. Now, Blazer gives us some really good insight to just how wonderful the Equinox will be. And the Silverado, the Blazer, when you look at it, obviously it has incredible eye appeal. But when you get inside of it and drive it and you see the luxury appointments that obviously General Motors has put into that vehicle, along with the space and then the range piece of it, and range will only get better as time continues to go, in my mind. But, you know, you really could see yourself enjoying a small family trip and different family activities in that vehicle. It checks a lot of boxes, and the tech is unbelievable. Really brings you in and does a great job with connectivity inside the vehicle. Everything at your fingertips and everything easy, intuitive to use. So I've been very excited. I actually drove one for a couple of days, and we had a customer that drove in from out of town and bought it. So, it was neat to see. I think I clocked like 100 miles on it before he bought it.
Oh, okay, cool. So, I'll go into more of that, of like y'all getting behind the wheels of the EVs, of course, which is significant, but you've mentioned a little bit of GM taking its time with a few models. You know, there were some stop sales in there. There was issue with the software, right? Like, you know, moving away from Android Auto, Apple CarPlay to your own or GM's own singular software, right? But given the recent difficulties that have been faced with the Ultium platform, do you think that this has impacted customer preference, or kind of are we in the EV bubble where we read these news stories and we know what's going on?
Yeah, it's you know, EV is still extremely young, right? And I don't want to say that you can't mess it up. You can get somebody excited, and then it takes too long for that product to go to market and scratch the itch of the consumer that's following that vehicle through different editors, right? So you got to be timely. But I think General Motors is out of the woods now with some of the delays. I think now we've got the proper momentum, which obviously you will be able to see that through editors getting these vehicles and, you know, spending time behind the wheel, kind of like you were talking about, where you guys were doing head-to-head on, you know, four or five different truck models. That's the important piece. You know, as a consumer, we all get excited when it becomes more relevant. and we get to a space and place where we can start touching it and an experience of the vehicle. And that's actually one of the things that I reached out to my field sales director for General Motors and said, look, you know, we've got to approach EVs differently from a loaner standpoint, because there are some different, you know, behind the scenes matrix that we have to watch and pay close attention to when we put something into loaner service. But, you know, I believe this EV needs to be in the hands of as many people as we can. And that might not be, you know, a loaner with a warranty ticket open for a car that's in service. It might be your neighbor, your pastor, somebody that, you know, you want to hand that vehicle off to for 2 or 3 days and spend some time with. So I think you're going to continue to see dealers like us and the manufacturer get very creative on how we can get more people to experience the EV products.
Okay, that's an interesting point of the strategy with the loaner. So I'd love to kind of dive into your, obviously it's been a transition for everyone, but to EV sales, what has that transition been like for this dealership in terms of shifting focus towards EVs? And then you're also saying that, like, we're getting creative. Where have you been able to get creative because it's a totally new undertaking?
Yeah, I think it's a fantastic question. We are just really early on into being able to get excited from a volume standpoint, right? I sold 8 bolts in 1 month, and that was, I think it was right at the beginning of COVID. And then obviously, you know, the bolt inventory and all that stuff dropped. So we've had some little bursts. Blazer, just as you know, kind of got cleaned up at the beginning of this month. And so I have 2 in stock, and we had 3 and sold 1, as I said earlier. So, you know, as we continue to get inventory on the ground, then we can start doing events. You know, we can have customers that come out for a ride and drive event. We can take them to different, market opportunities where there's a weekend event in our PMA, and really just get out there and have fun with the vehicle and share the vehicle. We know that the EV experience, Tesla's done a great job with having a very laid back approach in opening their doors to somebody viewing their vehicle at a strip center or a mall per se. Obviously, there's a person there that is, I guess, a salesperson, and he's doing a demo, but it feels different. I've walked in those experience rooms. I'm sure you have as well. It's a little different than walking into a dealership. And I think that myself and all the other great dealers in the U.S. are paying close attention to that and making sure that their staff is also geared very similar, because I think Tesla has done a pretty good job with setting that that tone already.
Yeah, that kind of, you know, that's a big question here is, how do we make dealerships either, you know, compete against this new approach of like the showrooms, right, that are quite, like you're saying, quite different, but I'm sure there's pros and cons of each. So it seems like you probably have an argument for dealerships in the electric vehicle space. Could you kind of sum that up and what that argument would be?
Yeah, I mean, we as dealers, your leadership team in a store, all the way down to your sales consultant, we're easy to find. We're easy to approach. We're not some service center warehouse that's positioned, 50 to 75 miles from the next, warehouse service center. We have a network of 3,000 dealers. The average dealer, I believe, is 9 miles apart in the U.S. So every 9 miles, you're going to run into a Chevrolet store, mathematically, if I remember that math correct from one of our dealer meetings. So that's powerful. The other thing is, you know, when something does go awry, you can sit down with me. You can sit down with someone at a dealership like this and talk about, you know, what is it like to get some help under that situation, or a loan car, or, you know, whatever the private concern of the client is. I just think the speed at which we can service somebody as a dealer network does look a lot different than the Tesla model that they have.
Yeah, I mean, I remember early Tesla days, if you had something, you know, you dented your car or something, my brother like slid into something and he couldn't use his side back passenger door, but it took a while to get that replaced. And of course, Tesla's a startup, but hopefully having like the network of dealerships would lead to, if I had any problems, and also just the absolute scale of these, you know, automakers that have been around for longer than Tesla to be able to attack this problem quicker, hopefully would be a potential advantage of the dealership model and just the more ubiquitous, hey, we have these everywhere and we always have, but also the dealerships need to be embracing electric vehicles, right? So have you seen any initiatives or incentives that have encouraged or could encourage more dealerships to embrace electric vehicle sales?
Yes. Everybody is really pretty much one price before any sort of government rebate, state rebate, manufacturer rebate. But, you know, whether you know this or not, my invoice number and my sticker price number is the same number. So, you know, we are all incentivized as a dealer with, you know, other incentives that go with selling that vehicle. But I think the manufacturers are also paying attention to that Tesla model where we all price the vehicles the same way. And that helps with the transparency of how the EV shopper is going into a Tesla showroom floor or a General Motors showroom floor from that regard. But with that being said, I think Tesla's also learned from some of the sins of the past. You know, it's great for them to be able to move their market share on a dime because they take the Model Y and drop it 10 grand or 15 grand. But you have to be very careful with that. And if you've noticed, Tesla has received a lot of backlash when they do those things, because when we discount a new car overnight aggressively, we hurt those that bought a car from us previously with the same model, because now we just affected the resale value of everyone that currently drives one. And we have to be very careful with that. The other thing is we all have to be very cognizant of leasing these cars. I'm also on the board with GM Financial. I will tell you that I believe, and I believe a lot of other people believe with me, that we need to pay close attention to making sure that we always have very aggressive, strong lease offers from that regard. You know, if you walk into a room with 100 people in it and you ask everybody to raise their hand if their cell phone is over 4 years old, how many people out of 100 in that room are going to raise their hand? Yeah, I'm still rocking this 5-6-year-old phone, right? I believe it's going to be very small sampling of that 100. Well, isn't our EV a cell phone with four wheels? In my mind, I believe that EV consumer will consume more frequently, but that EV consumer is going to want to consume over 2 to 3 years, which is perfect platform for a lease. And why is that? Technology and range will continue to adopt and change. It will adopt and change at a very rapid rate. Look at the range that we had 7-8 years ago. Look at the range we have today. So will we have that same uptick between now and the next 7 years into the future? My guess is yes. And from that standpoint, most all of us, just like our cell phone, are going to want to have a 2 to 3 year ownership with the vehicle.
Mm-hmm. I have seen that leases can be beneficial, especially because EVs are a new technology. You can just get your toes wet and try out the electric world before making the big commitment to buying one. And the technology might change quickly. I mean, we're already seeing with charging standards how they're changing, and then of course, battery technologies, we're going to see those changing, and we're just at the early stages. So I do think leases are interesting. Have you seen leasing options be popular in your region?
Oh, absolutely. You know, the 8 Bolts that I talked about that we sold, call it 2.5 years ago, roughly, and most of them were employees. You know, the lease was incredible. So you could lease at the time a Bolt was, $27,000, $28,000. and I had employees leasing it for under $250 a month.
That's so pretty good.
You know, we almost have to in this early stage. We almost have to dare people to give it a try, right? And you know, when that tipping point of that payment being so compelling, and there's no fuel expense, which makes it even more compelling. When we have that, then we take someone, and then they do give us a try, and they do move from ICE to EV. And so I still believe we're in a pay it forward kind of moment in time. But it is an exciting time for EV, and I'm very excited and very proud of General Motors with the offerings that we got coming.
Very cool. One thing that you did mention was kind of the aspect of price cuts and residual values, right? And I've heard both sides, mostly one side where it's like big, huge price cuts can really negatively affect those who already own the EVs in terms of their depreciation just caught up with them way faster than it would have with big price cuts. But there's also the other side that I hear that's like, oh, these price cuts aren't, they're a minuscule impact on the people who have the EVs, whether it's a giant fleet or an individual person. But what is your opinion on that, really, from your point of view?
Well, price cuts affect it more than you would know. You know, some of my biggest negative equity clients that lifestyle change, one reason or another, they need to move out of a Rivian or a Tesla into something else. Those clients typically have the largest amount of negative equity you'll see within that calendar month of business. I've seen $10,000 and $20,000 upside down. Now, in fairness, you know, most of these clients bought during the COVID timeline. So, you know, that's when pre-owned, EV blah was going for $10,000 to $15,000 over sticker, and it had 10,000 miles on it. Right. So, you know, there's some of that they're having to now look at because the market has normalized and the market isn't that bullish anymore because production is up. But, you know, it's a very serious concern. We have to be very, very careful that we don't put a client in a situation where, you know, we take them out of the market because the product that we put them in no longer has trade mobility. You know, you want your client after at least 2 years of ownership. If there's a lifestyle change and they desperately need to be able to trade, we need to be able to provide that service. So it's very, very important that we don't, you know, yo-yo incentives. We don't yo-yo MSRPs and protect our client, you know, in the future of that client relationship.
Very interesting. Interesting to hear your perspective about that. And of course, something that I'm very curious about is training. So of your salespeople, and then of course your service people, but how do you ensure that your sales team is even more than well-equipped to educate customers or inform customers about EVs and then guide them through the purchasing process? I've seen some services that advertise that they could train your sales force in 90 minutes, everything you need to know about EVs. But I mean, I'm working in this space and I'm still learning a lot. Of course, I know more than the average person probably, but it is a whole new learning curve. And I've noticed that sometimes, you know, people tend to lack this kind of education or the ability to educate. Maybe it's like a wealth of knowledge and it takes more time to build it, but it's really important. This is one of the only touch points that EV customers have to learn directly from someone else, like someone who can be a teacher about charging infrastructure, at home charging, the technology in the EV. So what are you doing to ensure that your people, we'll start with salespeople and then we could move towards service people, but that your salespeople are able to answer any question, give more information than anyone could probably want, but that they certainly need.
Well, I'll start out by answering this by saying this is the power of a dealer network, right? First of all, General Motors has got extensive training, online training, in-person training. They have a field team that will come out to each and every store. They do a fantastic job with all that. You know, and if you really think about the difference between you coming to a franchise dealership like this one that I'm sitting in right now versus a Tesla experience. You know, the Tesla experience is going to be you training yourself versus our team being well-equipped, not just with the knowledge and the process that we put together, but also the knowledge and the process that is already put together by General Motors itself. So between my process and General Motors, you know, we're going to be able to give a client a fantastic experience. And I think a big piece of it is, you know, how do we help them with getting a charger at home? How do we help them identify how they're going to charge at work? Or how they're going to charge on their commute if they work from home? You know, is their drive daily predictable? Or are they in a sales position where it's unpredictable? You know, the connected car with the app is very important. Obviously, if you find yourself in different places throughout the city on a regular basis, because you're you know, a traveling salesperson and it's very irregular. So you just got to walk the client through that. The other question is, you know, are we still dealing with clients where this is going to be a third car, and they still have two ICE vehicles in the driveway? Or are we giving up ICE and we're going all in with EV? I think you've got to start out with fact finding, and you've got to slow the sales process down, and you've got to ask a whole lot of questions from this side of the desk so that you know exactly what the goals of the client is. And then at that point, you can model, you know, that particular vehicle with their goals, or tell them, hey, at this moment in time, you know, I think we're going to have difficulty meeting those goals based on the data that the car produces. So I think that's very, very important. You know, from a service aspect, you have to go through incredible certification process as a technician and as an advisor when you're working with EV. EV vehicles, from a service standpoint, can be extremely dangerous. And we have to obviously always put that in the forefront of everything that we do in the shop with employee safety, because one car is not worth somebody getting hurt over. And so there's a lot of training that's put into that. But, you know, aside from the technical side from service, I think the sales side, it's really not selling. It's sitting back and informing. It's sitting back and making sure that you ask some really good probing questions to make sure that, you know, what the customer thinks they're looking at is really what they're looking at, and that the vehicle will perform to the goals that they've set for themselves before they walked in the store. And that's really what sets us apart from a Tesla experience.
I do think that is very significant, is understanding how are you driving? How are you going to use this EV? And then making sure someone gets in the right car, or, you know, maybe no EV if it really is not going to work for them, because you'd rather them have a good experience. I mean, I know that there have been people who have adopted an electric vehicle into their lifestyle, and they knew that they would have to rely on public charging, but like they did not look up the public charging infrastructure in their region. So then they have an EV and they don't have anywhere to charge it. And it was just so astounding how people can be put in these cars and not have been given that information. So in terms of public charging, do you see questions about that? How do you go about educating people? I know that GM obviously has a partnership with EVgo, but how has that come about?
Yeah, public charging is a real concern. You know, we've all had friends that, you know, rented a vehicle and then struggled to find charging, or they found charging and it really kind of took several hours out of their vacation experience or business experience traveling to get the vehicle back up to a level that they could get to the airport or get to their next appointment. So, you know, I think when you do not have a planned daily routine of where you're going, hey, I'm going from home to work. Work has chargers. Work has a schedule rotation based on all the EV employees. And that's exactly what we had to do here. We actually have a charging calendar for our employees so that, you know, people can be, you know, a little bit more of a planner from that regard. And it's also kind of helped people understand that this vehicle doesn't have to be charged every day. You don't stop and get gas every single day, but you've got to kind of break down the barriers of the range anxiety piece. And that schedule kind of help people understand that, you know, the vehicle will go further than you first thought. The regenerative braking helps a whole lot more than maybe you first thought. And it's just over time started to break down those barriers. But yes, public charging is still an opportunity for all of us. You know, I know General Motors has definitely asked dealers to look at adopting areas of their hometown to help support a charging network from that regard. You know, and I think that'll also help tremendously as we all continue to go forward together in the EV space. But, you know, the other thing is smart cities. You know, I don't know if on some of your previous podcasts, you guys have talked about, you know, the real opportunity of what a smart city could be, where, you know, you've got panels on a freeway, and as you're driving down the freeway, your car is remotely charging, you know, from that regard. You know, I think that there's going to be some opportunities for technology as we look ahead that will make the charging experience feel seamless. And obviously that's when the adoption will blossom to the next level.
Yeah, we're all really looking forward to see how public EV charging is going to continue to improve. And yeah, GM has a lot of investment into that space. So it's interesting to see that they're encouraging dealerships to look into that as well. And of course, you know, if you're either breaking down myths or misconceptions for customers or informing them about the EV, I would think that your salespeople need to know it pretty well inside and out. What opportunities do they have to, like, either live with the car or drive with the car for extended periods of time? How quickly did you learn that was, like, important? To me, it seems very important off the bat.
Yeah. You know, a sales consultant here, and, you know, our as I said earlier, you know, we've got a couple Blazers in stock. We do not have an Equinox yet. We do not have a Silverado just yet. But as those vehicles become more and more abundant on the lot, you know, it'll be fun for us to all be able to demo them, you know, let a sales consultant drive one over the weekend, that sort of thing, and really start to kind of understand, hey, how much range do they pick up by using regenerative brakes? You know, it's one thing to watch a training video or to have a trainer come out and do a world-class walk around on a car. And as I said before, General Motors does a great job with that. But it's another thing for you to take it into the wild yourself and really experience what it will do and also what it won't do. And we'll definitely be investing in that piece of it as the inventory becomes more robust on the lot.
That'll be fun. Yeah. Very, very good. And then, of course, tax incentives. I've talked to so many people about this, no matter what kind of part of the industry they're in, whether it's their EV charging providers, their battery energy storage solutions, commercial, consumer tax incentives. But it can be very confusing to figure out what do I qualify for and how. I'm assuming that's all wrapped up in your EV sales training.
Well, it is, but it's also it's really a case by case basis. You know, you need to sit down with the client, and we actually have one sales manager that does this because, you know, the client has to provide their social from that regard, and we go through the government portal, you know, I know this was a big undertaking for our government to try to put their arms around, and they've got it further along than we thought they would at this moment in time. But there, you know, there's still some things that we've got to work through, because, you know, what we're seeing on our end is everybody's qualifying. And you know, so is there a moment in time where they claw back on your next tax return when you report that you made $650,000 and they gave it to you because they didn't know if you were going to have a $650,000 a year on your tax return, right? And then does that get clawed back a little bit? I think there's still a whole lot of questions when it comes to some of these incentives. But to your point, you just have to slow way down and you have to say, okay, what am I chasing from a state perspective? What am I chasing from a government perspective? Can it all be, put on the car deal up front, or do I need to keep this to the side and give to my CPA during tax season? You know, you just gotta, slow down and make sure you got all the specifics, especially by state, and then know what you're dealing with on the government side. But the government piece of it, I am concerned that everybody's qualifying, and not everybody qualifies, right? Based on income. So, what will that look like if there is some, pardon the expression, clawback on the next tax return?
Yeah, too complicated. I mean, I love the incentive behind it. It's like, get EVs in the hands of more people, try to make up for the premium pricing of this technology, of these big old batteries on wheels, but it is extremely complicated. Not even, thinking about it all the way up and your concern there. So really interesting. And then, of course, we talked about public charging and a little bit about at-home charging, but we found that this is pretty important when you're thinking about your EV experience. It's just awesome if you have a garage and you can install that. But in terms of the installation process, and I know you're going to have more EVs to offer in the future, so perhaps more experience with helping people navigate that. But how do you help folks navigate, getting safely installed at-home charging if they're able to have that option?
Yeah, GM is going after a full solution. And I don't know if you've read much about this, but they're going after not only charging, but they're also going to go after solar panel, and they're also going to go after charge storage. So you will literally be able to work directly with General Motors to become a self-sufficient, if you want to call it that, home. From solar to actual storage of the energy that you've been able to claim. And then obviously if you've used all that, actually having a charging mechanism in the house. So, it's interesting to see how General Motors is going after giving a full turnkey solution with the EV process, because the charging at home is a big piece of this, from that regard. You don't want to find yourself as a consumer having to rely on public or having to rely on business chargers. We've all seen articles where, people are starting to try to take copper wire out of the charging, cables and just different stuff that goes on. So, if there's, let's pick a number. If there's 10,000 public chargers, is 7,000 of them actually operational, right? And then out of 7,000, how many are being utilized, from that regard? So, I think there's a bit of that going on. And so it's going to be real important that we've got peace of mind at home and we've got the proper setup at home. So if you come in and you're buying an EV, we can walk you through the relationship side of General Motors also helping give you proper navigation on making your home an EV home as well.
Yeah, very cool. I love the idea of having a microgrid home with your solar, your battery storage, your EV, all that. And then the future potential, of course, with the grid. I think it's really cool. And I'm glad to see, like all the GM energy stuff. So it's very important. There's a lot of opportunities there that if you can take advantage of them, it would be so great if more people would too as well. Have there been any collaborations or partnerships with either local organizations or government agencies in your region that you've found helpful in promoting EV adoption and awareness?
I don't know if there, if you would call it collaboration. I think there's been a lot of questions. I think there's been a lot of, dealers and the state, dealers and TADA, Texas Auto Dealers Association, dealers and NADA, National Auto Dealers Association. I think there's just been a lot of collaboration with questions amongst, the dealer network, and how we continue to move forward with the manufacturer and with the client through the EV space. And you know, hey, as we all start to understand this better and we all start to get more momentum together, then there will be more scale of what we're doing in the public, you know, from that regard. And like I had said earlier, you know, once this EV truck, our Silverado, gets here, once this Equinox, what a fantastic price point, great range. You know, once those vehicles get here, you know, then I can see our LMAs, our local marketing associations, for our dealer networks, you know, starting to do different things, and different events around the vehicles as well. But hey, we're all learning and we're all asking a lot of questions, which is the right thing to do. It's a big subject and it's not going away.
Certainly not. We're just starting, as you hear a big old engine drive outside my window. But thank
that
you
was
so
not
much.
An EV.
No, that was not an EV. That's something I do love about EVs. They're so quiet. I love it. And I'm glad you're getting to appreciate them firsthand. And, you know, it's thank you so much for providing us with, honestly, an engaging conversation and interesting insights into the world of EV sales and customer education and sales consultant education information at your Chevy dealership in Texas. It's interesting to learn more about how dealerships and you all are embracing electric mobility and adapting to, if not helping to shape, the future of automotive retail as it, you know, as we move into this electric future. Is there anything else you'd like our listeners to take away from this conversation that we haven't hit on yet?
No, I would just, you know, I would close with, your dealers understand that the EV transaction, it will be different. It will be different for both of us. And we're excited to embrace it. And, you know, regardless if you're a Ford dealer, a Chevy dealer, an Audi dealer, whatever banner you have out front, you know, we're all going to have, you know, samplings of EV products that continue to get better and better. And continue to fill our showroom floors. And we're excited about this new chapter in the automotive space.
Awesome. Yes, thank you so much, Alan. I really appreciate your time and energy today. And to our listeners, thank you for plugging into the Out of Spec podcast. Stay tuned for more electrifying conversations in the episodes to come and let us know what questions you have for Alan about dealerships, this model, and maybe even Chevy EVs in the comments. Hope you all have a wonderful day. Bye-bye. And thank you again, Alan.
Thank you.
That's the sound of another sale on Shopify, in store. Shopify POS is everything you need to sell in person. From payments to inventory, Shopify unites your sales into one commerce platform. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/retail23. Shopify.com/retail23.